Most, if not all, metaphysical teachings believe that what we hold in mind, we eventually experience out here in the world. People who wait for changes to occur in their life before they commit to making changes on the inside, where they carry their deepest beliefs and thoughts, will never make any changes at all. From my experience, I have found that most people believe their thoughts come and go of their own, and they have no control over them. But this is not true. What we buy, let me give you an example of, how we are influenced and what controls we have. Let's say I'm going to buy a car. I'm not sure what I want to buy. I'm unsure. So I'm going to check in with the person I trust the most, or the person who's had a really good experience with their car and their make and their brand, to see what has been your true experience. And if it's a good one, I'm probably going to go with what they tell me. So I do have a choice. I have a choice in choosing whatever it is that I am going to think. The founders named our spiritual teaching Divine Science because they found that truth is changeless. In Divine Science, the principle and practice book, it tells us that science is systematized and classified. Knowledge, and to deserve its name, must have a governing principle with laws by which the principle works to produce infallible results. It further tells us divine science bases its teachings on the omnipresence of God. The changeless and eternal divine truth of the omnipresence of God and the laws of His perfect activity. And I like this next sentence. It's true, knowledge consists, therefore, in knowing the true nature of the supreme source and cause, its action and result, and the individual application of this knowledge in every walk of life. The key here is the individual application. This is why we can say that every committed student of divine science can prove God to themselves by practicing the presence of God and being still and applying the truth that they know. You see, no matter what a minister or teacher says, it all comes down to the student. And we are all students. We must do the work for ourselves. You've heard me say this practically every single Sunday. We are the masters of our own behavior, what we dwell on, and what we accept as true and real for us. For we make decisions every day as to what we will give our attention to. Usually, before there is action on our part out here in the world, there are beliefs and thoughts that we have chosen to believe as true. Before we have any external experience, whether we consider it good or bad, there was thinking on our part that created the circumstances. Everything that we see and that we feel, anything that we experience, is a result of our perpetual thinking with feeling. The law is, as within, so in manifestation. All begins within us and expresses as what we then see as real and true in our life. Therefore, our thoughts cannot just go off willy-nilly. One of the things we rarely talk about is the mind that constantly changes its beliefs and can't seem to focus on anything for too long. This is a mind that can't decide what it wants or what it believes. We've all been there at some point. Some in this state of mind search and search to see what satisfies them, what resonates with them. When we are in this state of mind, we may try many religions or metaphysical teachings, going from one to another to see which one uplifts us. Unfortunately, sometimes in this state of mind, which I call the confused mind, we lose jobs, we may lose relationships, perhaps we feel lost and depressed. This may cause some to turn to drugs or alcohol. Now, these are not judgments, but observations of what happens with a confused mind. These experiences may lead some to conclude that God has left them, and they believe that they may be being punished by God. Whether we find ourselves in a confused state of mind or afraid of when the other shoe is going to fall, we must never forget God our Father knows us only as His beloved child. But as long as we allow ourselves to be governed by external conditions and circumstances, we become a prisoner of that which we hold as real, looking for our good in a world where nothing is permanent. We view the world through the human lens because we accepted in consciousness that there is God and something else. And that something else we call evil, bad, change, error, mistake, among other names. Well, God can't eliminate evil because evil is not real. However, for those who believe that good and bad must exist together, then evil is very real and sometimes brings great misery. Our true life is that we live and move and have our being in God's kingdom because He created us in His image and likeness. We are pure spirit, but our human personality has accepted the idea that we are separate and apart from God. God is the one and only source. He is the only good. He has given us His grace and blessings, not because we ask or we desire or we need, but because we are His. We are His beloved children. He gave us a finished kingdom from the beginning. And from the beginning, He pours His grace and His blessings to us constantly. However, our negative attitudes or attitudes of entitlement, as well as feeling sorry for ourselves, anger, or any other emotion that does not express the infinity of our Father, blocks His grace and blessings. How often do we thank our Father for all He has given us, His kingdom, His paradise, and His heaven? In the Revealing Word, it says of gratitude. Gratitude and thanksgiving are both necessary in demonstrating prosperity through divine law. When we are grateful for what we have, it increases the inflow. Gratitude attracts more abundance in our experience. It is also in giving joyfully to others, whether it is a kind word or in giving something tangible, that opens us to receive the fruits of the divine. Every day when we wake up, we should thank our Father for another day, another opportunity to serve His will and be an instrument for the world to know God. We must also learn to let go and let God be God in our life. God's presence is always with us, cannot leave us. Already established in us, let us have faith. faith and trust that God's good will draw to us that which we need and desire according to His law. Most importantly, that we be guided and led to have the realization of the Father's consciousness. The truth of our being is that we were created with all of the attributes of God, and our soul seeks to return to the Father's house. The desire to know God, experience Him, and be an instrument for His good, His grace, and His attributes is the first step. We already have the inner desire for it. It is through God's grace that our desire to be God's expression is cultivated. In other words, it already comes from God. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That is, the real saving, redeeming, transforming power came to man through the work that Jesus did in establishing for the race a new and higher consciousness on earth. We can enter into this consciousness by faith in Him and by means of the inner spirit, the Christ, and of the law that He taught and that He practiced. Jesus taught that the Christ resides within us, and the Christ is the true light which guides us all and has never left us. The Christ is the divine individual, the true identity of all, for the Christ lives within our own being. It is the Christ within who has conscious awareness of God. In Mark chapter 1, verse 11, we are told, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." We must dwell in the Christ to have the realization of our oneness with God. The next step that we need to take is to rise higher in consciousness by seeing beyond what the world presents, so that we may be a witness to God in action. We cannot accept appearances as the true reality. Appearances are manifested according to someone or a group's consciousness. Since the vast majority of people believe in the separation from God and that evil is real, the vast majority of appearances are based on false things or false ideas. We must stop reacting to what appears. Instead, at these moments, we need to be still and quiet. For it is in stillness that we know God. You are probably wondering, how can I stay still at work, in the car, interacting with my kids, my spouse, my friends, my neighbors? While it is important to find the time and place to sit and commune with God in silence, it is also important that throughout the day, as we go about our business, that we learn to quiet our mind, not make judgments, not be afraid, but instead remember that the presence of God is here and now, regardless of what the appearance looks like. We need to acknowledge His presence within us and in others, not just ourselves, but in others, and we will see the activities that will go much smoother. Perfect strangers will be ready to assist. Colleagues who previously appeared to be always in conflict are now open and helpful and willing to collaborate. We won't recognize God doing His works, that is, His presence in our midst, if we are too busy giving opinions, arguing, or fighting our way through it. We must remember, I of my own self can do nothing. Only the Father within doeth the works. This is an important principle to know, remember, and practice. It is only God, His presence, that reveals the spiritual principles that govern our path. There are times we feel a strong inner push to go in a certain direction. Yet, to us, it may seem useless. But if we go in that direction, oftentimes we find it opens up new ways of doing things and seeing them and experiencing them. Every person on the spiritual path of unfoldment will prove God to themselves. Not to others, but to themselves. For God is an experience and eventually a relationship where we can say, as Jesus said, I am about my Father's business. As we engage in the day-to-day living, we are planting seeds in our consciousness that, if cultivated, become our experience. Now, we plant seeds that relate to the human consciousness or the Christ consciousness. The choice is totally ours. If we don't want to have a confused mind, we choose the Christ consciousness. We plant these seeds within our thinking with feeling. Those thoughts with strong emotions will grow to be the ones that we face. A feeling thought that is not cultivated will disappear and not affect us. You know, sometimes some silly thought comes to mind, like I really want to strangle that person. That thought, if you just let it go, it disappears. It means nothing. However, those thoughts that we consistently have day in and day out will eventually become the issues of our life. It is usually the negative thoughts of anger and pain, righteousness, that haunt us and won't go away. The problems and situations that trouble us consume our attention. In case you didn't notice, Emerson warned us to be careful for what we pray. He knew the law. Like produces like, as is the sowing in thought, so the reaping in experience. When we plant corn, we get corn. Just like when we plant roses, we get roses. Every day we plant seeds in consciousness. Eventually, and this is guaranteed, these seeds or desire, of desire or anger, become our reality. We must ask ourselves every day, what am I planting in my consciousness? Am I planting fear, lack, love, or peace? It is important to learn to protect our thoughts from external influences or emotional reactions. Instead, let us open ourselves to God for the seeds of life, of everlasting, His love, His peace, His grace, His wisdom. We must be careful of that which we keep in our heart, for the issues of life come from our emotional center, the heart. The seeds planted in the heart determine whether we can fulfill God's commandment to love our neighbor or instead wallow in jealousy and hate. As in mind, so in expression. We cannot plant the seeds contrary to God's nature and expect to know His kingdom. Our thoughts must be trained so that we are thinking about the things of God instead of thinking about what is missing or what is wrong in our life. Remember, what we focus on grows. We need to be grateful for the omnipresence of God. Give gratitude for what we have makes those things grow in our experience. Gratitude for consciously being on the spiritual path will give us the support we need to turn to God, to trust Him, and listen to the still small voice within our being. Thoughts can be enlightened in truth only by turning to the inner Christ consciousness. Right thinking, scientific prayer is the channel through which the treasures of the universe pour forth. Right thinking refers to the spiritual discernment that God is the one and only in the universe. We were created by God from the same spiritual substance that all is created. And therefore, we live and move and have our being in God. God is the one power, the one intelligence, the one wisdom, and the one soul. All begins and ends in God, for there is none beside Him. There is nothing to fear, for God is love and peace. We are His beloved. Throughout the day, let us turn within over and over again. We must still our thoughts as we move from one activity to another. If any agitation occurs or appears to be beginning, let us stop and remember the presence of God is here and now with me. God has no favorites, for His love and peace is for all, the sinner, and the saint. Let us keep in mind the law of expression. All begins without and expresses within and expresses in the outer. Let us have a grateful heart for God's presence always with us. As this lesson ends, I want to share with you a favorite prayer I have that Nona Brooks gave us, one of our founders. And she says, as our thoughts abide in the Father, the Christ mind within me, my entire life within and without will be established in the beauty of wholeness. I shall be freed from false concepts. All doubts and fears will vanish. I shall come to realize more and more order and beauty and richness in my objective life as well as within. I shall rejoice in health, in my ability to accomplish, in companionship, individual and universal, in abundant supply, in the kingdom within and without. All of this because I cooperate with the law as Jesus gave it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This prayer never fails. The seeds we need to plant are the seeds of divine spirit. It is the principles of the omnipresence of God, oneness, truth, love of neighbor, faith, and life everlasting that will bear the fruits of the Spirit. And so it is. Will you please join me now for our closing meditation? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Relax your bodies. Just turn your attention within, knowing that God is always with you. He has never left you. God is our peace. God is our love, our abundance, our wisdom. God is all in all. When we have a relationship with Him, it is God who is expressing through us, for us, and as us. Let us learn to be still. Let us learn to never leave our homes without first turning to our Father in silent prayer. Most importantly, let us be grateful, for He has given us everything. His kingdom, His heaven, and yes, it is His paradise. But let us be grateful for everything. Let us not call it good or bad. just experiences, we learn to turn to Him as we pay attention to what is happening in our experience. Let us be still. Father, we are ever grateful for your presence, for your love and your harmony, your joy and your peace. We are especially thankful for your spiritual understanding and wisdom. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines His face upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you His love, peace, and harmony. Amen. Please stand.